Hello everybody. For those that don't know me, my name's Josh. I'm a minister in training here at Oasis. A while ago we talked about four invitations from Jesus to help us become better disciples and disciple others. And these were the four invitations: to come and see, to follow me, I will teach you to become fishers of men, or teach you how to disciple others, and then for you to go and make disciples who will go on to make more disciples. And today, I wanted us to do a health check for our own lives. I've noticed that in my life, there is a constant battle with trying to balance everything that is going on between work, home, church, family. Trying to better myself spiritually and to become more disciplined can often fall to the bottom of the priority list. Now, if you don't know my wife, Luma, she's from Brazil, and her family live in a town closest to the border of Argentina on the west side of Brazil. When we get off the last plane, it's a 5-hour drive to this remote place that I've renamed Radiator Springs. And yes, if you've ever watched Disney's Cars, it's like that little town, Radiator Springs. There's no reason to go there at all. It's in the middle of nowhere. It just sort of exists. Now, culturally, they aren't too different from here, except that at 5 p.m, something miraculous happens. When they finish work, they just seem to stop. Now, that may be a little bit of an exaggeration or generalisation, but there's no seem to be any massive aspirations in life. No working overtime or no working all of these side projects. And what you will often find is that they'll be sitting with their friends or their family outside on the warm porch sharing drinks, and the same story that you've heard countless times. But the biggest thing here is they just stop and they unwind and process what has been going on in their day. I've noticed over lockdown, for me, this has been just a great time to really wind down and process life. I really think over this lockdown period, if we were to take one thing we could learn, I wonder what that would be for you. But for me, it's certainly been that we need to slow down. I wonder, in those times of quietness, in those times of silence, maybe some of the best questions to ask are this: God, what are you saying to me today? God, where have I seen you move in my life today? And God, what can I learn from you today? None of these questions are rocket science, and nothing that we're going to be talking about today is rocket science, but all of them are personal to our relationship with God. So for each person, the answer would differ, and there are probably no wrong answers at all. I believe we constantly need to ask these sort of questions, whether we've been a Christian for, say, 1 week or for 50 years. These type of questions are important to keep ourselves as balanced as possible and in right relationship with God. These things also allow us to tweak and change our lives to become a better version of ourselves. Introducing this time in our life to reflect is the beginning of good self-leadership. One of the hardest things to lead is actually ourselves. If we can lead ourselves well, we can lead others well. If we're disciplined in our own discipleship, we can become better at discipling other people as well. So the first question I want to ask is this: are you good at leading yourself? Now, I'll put my hands up and say this is always a constant battle for me. Now, whatever your answer is, and whoever you are, I can guarantee whether you are great at it, whether you are young, whether you are old, I can guarantee there is a room for improvement in this area, and this is why it's good to constantly put time aside in our lives to reflect on how we can change and better ourselves. So today I was wondering if you would journey with me not to do anything complicated, but for us to look at some good habits that Jesus has shown us to become better disciples. So here we go. We're going to go through these. I'm not going to go really deep into lots of scriptures, but I am going to list some of the scriptures so that you can go away for yourself and can read those scriptures and can draw from the Word of God. So here we go. So I wanted to share some practical things about time management, and by no means am I a master of this, but there are lots of things that I've learned watching others, looking at myself and watching church. I feel like it could take a lifetime to master good time management, but I just wanted to share with you some of my thoughts along time management. So the first thing is this. You can have all the best intentions to put time aside to spend with God, to grow in your relationship, to grow spiritually. However, there will be always something that will come across our path to disrupt that precious time. So the best way is that we are intentional about putting time aside. For instance, it may be that every Saturday at 9 p.m. for 1 hour, you spend time praying and reading your Bible so that you're in the right frame of mind to receive a Sunday, but so also you're growing closer to God in your relationship with Him. Maybe every day whilst getting ready in the morning, before you start work, you have 20 minutes just to thank God and pray to Him. It doesn't mean that this is the only time you spend with God, but that everything else extra is a bonus to your spiritual life. What I'd say here is do everything to protect that time, that precious time with God. First, put it in your diary that this is your time to spend with God. If anyone asks you to do anything else in that time frame, say no, but schedule with that person to do it at a different time. We read at least 6 times in scriptures where Jesus chose solitude over people. In Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 2 and 14 to 15, Jesus spends 40 days in the wilderness, leaving everything behind. In Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 32, Jesus encourages disciples to rest after ministry. This is something that he's learned. It's a discipline, and he taught his disciples to do it as well. In Matthew 14, verses 1 to 13, Jesus spends time grieving for his cousin John, who was beheaded. In Luke 6, verses 12 to 13, Jesus spends the whole night in prayer before making the wise choice of choosing his disciples. It's hard to make the right decisions, isn't it, sometimes? But one of the best things that we can do is just to pray and seek God's face. In Luke chapter 22, verses 39 to 44, Jesus puts time aside where he is in great emotional agony. And in Luke 5, verse 16, it just tells us that Jesus prays. Jesus was in a regular rhythm of praying to his Father. So the second small point that I wanted to point out for you today is this, that the more you do in life, the longer it takes to wind down and forget about all the things you have to do in your tick list, and then to think clearly enough for God to speak to you. Because what you'll find is the busier you are, the longer it takes you to wind down, and in the middle of praying, in the middle of spending time with God, you realise that you forgot to feed the dog, or you forgot to put the dustbin out, or you forgot to contact that person. And it's so easy to be distracted, and it's hard to remain focused on God when you've got so much going on in your life. So one of my challenges is, and we'll talk about this a bit later, but don't take on too much. And the next thing, and this is something that I've spent a lot of time looking at, a lot of time thinking about, is your involvement in church. Now, I'm a church junkie. I love church. I love love serving in church, and I love doing things. However, the more things I find that I do, the worse job I do. So my question to you all is this. Do you have the capacity to do all that you are doing? We've already said before, if you if you do too much, sometimes it can be hard to actually be productive in those quiet times with God. But I'd encourage everyone in church to do at least one thing, because serving others makes us a better version of ourselves, and it also benefits God's kingdom as well. You know, it's a great thing to invest in the lives of other people. But this is what I would say, and I say this carefully: don't serve more than you can. This isn't a rule for all, but if you look at today's society, you look at how busy we are in this country. If you have a family and you are working, and unless you are paid to work in the church, most people can only serve in one ministry and do it well. And actually, if everybody served just one ministry and did that little job well, do you know, as a church, we would be doing so well. We would be growing so well. And that's not to add pressure to you guys, but actually, don't overstretch yourself. Do one thing and do it well. Do it to the best of your abilities. So why not just keep to the one thing and make your life mission, whenever you turn up, and in your preparation time, to come ready to give you 100%. You're also going to get a lot more satisfaction about it for yourselves as well. It sounds obvious, but if you are stretching yourself too far, there will be a day when you are not ready. There will be a day where you will burn yourself out. We read in the Bible, Jesus was a great example for this. He found time regularly to put time aside in relationship with God to pray. There was a great quote from a guy, and I can't pronounce his name, and I'm not going to try, but he says this: surround yourself with people who are better than you in every field. So spiritually, when we look at this, if you need to be better at praying, surround yourself with people who are already doing it well. If you need to be better at reading your Bible, find people who are doing it well. If you need to be better with your time management, find people that are doing it better than you. Spend that time and learn from those people. We do this activity in our youth group where we look at some of the strengths of people around us. So it may be an encourager. It may be somebody that inspires us. It might be somebody that's an anchor in times of trouble. It might be somebody that invests in our lives. And we get our young people to write down names of people against some of these great aspects. And it's a great exercise for young people to look and go, who do I have around me who are going to invest time in me, who are going to help me better myself? So my challenge to you is, and this has been hard over lockdown, this has been really difficult, but do you have people around you who are mentoring you, who are inputting into you spiritually, who are spending time with you and helping you better yourself? Some of these people are hard to come by. You know, we are a busy people, and getting that time from those people can be difficult. And the first thing I would just want to say to this is people's time is very precious. So if you want somebody to invest their time into you, make sure, first of all, you're organized with it. Make sure you ask them regularly to meet up and show that you are keen and show up on time. And just really build up that relationship with that person, because it will value them and it will also value you as well. So surrounding ourselves not only with people who support but can also teach, challenge and encourage us is essential for our spiritual growth. Now, what I'd also say is that most of us need to surround ourselves with multiple people who can invest a little bit of time in us. And this is why church is such an essential part of spiritual growth. If we gather together with a group of people there, I can always learn something from those around me. Whether they have been a Christian for a short time or they've been a Christian for a long time, we can all learn something new. However, on top of this, even if we don't learn something new, we can be reminded of what we already know and learn to reapply spiritual disciplines that we have perhaps lacked in the past. So even what I'm sharing with you today, is probably for a lot of you nothing new, but I can guarantee there are some areas which we can always do a little bit better. So the second thing I want to talk to you about is, who do you invest your time in? Now, when we looked at the four invitations of Jesus, when we get past the follow me stage, learning to be disciplined, learning to grow spiritually, and that's sort of an ongoing thing that we need to do. The second thing that we start to look at is actually leading other people. As we become the best version of ourselves, people will naturally gravitate towards us. And people will naturally gravitate and want to learn from us, and they will want to have that investment from you. Now, some of us might not be very confident in this, and that's okay. We're all on a journey and we're all growing in this. But what I want to challenge you is this, is who do you invest your time in? Now, a lot of us don't have time to invest in others. On top of our work, on top of our family, on top of our spiritual relationship with God, on top of church, it can be really difficult. But what I want to challenge you is, just start with something little and invite people into your life. So there's nothing wrong with, while you're going shopping, to invite somebody to go shopping with you. When you're doing your groceries, invite somebody to come along with you as well. If you're having dinner, invite people around the dinner table. If you're going to a life group, invite people into that life group. Doing life with people and building relationship with people is the most effective way to disciple people. And the closer we get with those people, the more natural it is, and the easier it can be as well. It doesn't have to be formal necessarily, but it's a great way just to invest time in people without burning ourselves out. Just invite people into your life. And it's even things like your birthdays. You know, I'm not a big one for celebrating my birthday, but inviting other people to share your birthday with that person is a great thing to do. You'll find that if you have a good spiritual disciplines in your life, if you are good in your own personal disciplines, that people will look up to you. People will look for those examples, and it will raise conversations the deeper you go in your relationship with God. And the last thing I would say as well, when you're investing in people, you are investing in people so that they can go on and invest in other people. So this is a long-term investment. And you even look today, for those of us that are Christians, and we are Christians because of a legacy that has been passed down years after years after years, and we've been taught how to be in relationship with God. Basically, Jesus made disciples who made other disciples. Now, we read that Jesus set the ultimate example when investing in the lives of other people. Other than Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, maybe his greatest accomplishment was investing in disciples who invested in more disciples who invested in more disciples. And we read about this a lot in the Bible. Here are just some of the scriptures: in Matthew 10:1, in Luke 6:13, Matthew 15:32, Mark 8:1, Mark 12:43,
Mark 8:34, Matthew 20:17, Matthew 5:1, Matthew 12:36, Matthew 15:12, Matthew 15:23, Matthew 18:1, Matthew 17:9, Matthew 24:3, Matthew 26:14, Luke 22:45, Matthew 26:45, Mark 9:14, John 21:1, John 21:14.
Jesus invested a heck of a lot of time in the lives of other people. If that isn't an ultimate example, I don't know what is. Now, it's important when we're investing in the lives of these people that we are at our best, physically and spiritually as well. And on the physical front, I just want to share with you, it's important that we exercise well, that we eat well, and that we sleep well. Now, we don't know much about how Jesus ate, but we do know he ate with his disciples. And we all know that eating with people is a great way to build a relationship. We don't know much about how he exercised, but we do know he would have walked a lot from town to town. And we don't know much about his sleeping patterns. What we do read is actually when he probably wasn't sleeping well, when he was grieving, or when he was in times of trauma. That's actually when he spent all night praying or he had to make big decisions. So, but we don't read much about his sleeping patterns. But we do know from our own lives and from those around us that we are at our best when we eat well, when we have regular exercise and get a good night's sleep in. In terms of investing time in other people, the hardest thing is that it all takes time and it takes energy. When we imagine our time that we're going to invest in a person, let me tell you, it always seems to take longer. If we don't have the time and energy to invest in people, we are going to be constantly draining ourselves out. We're going to be less than effective at discipling others, and we can quite easily burn ourselves out. Jesus was constantly disturbed by his disciples, and we talked about this earlier, about protecting that time with God, protecting that time with God and not letting other people interfere with that. And Jesus was really good at spending time with God and investing time with God. But also we look when he was doing that, when he tried to pull himself out of the away from the crowds in the quiet times, Jesus' disciples were constantly pestering him. But somehow he managed to have something left in his energy tank to invest great pearls of wisdom to his disciples. Most of us, when we're asked to do something else on top of our program, we find time to squeeze into our busy diaries a spare few 10 minutes here and there to do a task and to help a person. And this is usually okay until something unexpected comes along, which takes so much more time than we expected and zaps us of more energy. This can often be actually investing in other people is what takes more time, but anything in work to, I don't know, something in your house breaks and you've got to fix it, to spending time with your children and having to invest more time in their lives. There are always things that take more time out of us. Maybe we just didn't sleep well the night before. Maybe we actually skipped an important meal that we could have eaten, or maybe we are just neglecting that regular exercise. And I just want to challenge you to combat this. We need to create more time in our diaries that we literally plan to do nothing in that space, to recuperate and to recharge our batteries. And I guess that's maybe where I want us to end today, actually end where we began. Are we putting time aside regularly to reflect on God, to ask those important questions, to recharge our batteries, to be the better version of ourselves? You know, time and time we hear that people will say that Christians are hypocritical, and that's often because they often see us at our worst and not at our best. In the East, people are much better than us Westerners. They're great at keeping a Sabbath day to reflect on God. This is a day where they grow spiritually, where they reflect on what God has been saying to them during the week, where they regain the lost energy during the week, a hard-working week. It is so important that we recharge our batteries, and I know that all too well for my own life. And I want to encourage you today, where can you do less but add more value elsewhere? Where can you do less but add value elsewhere? I'm going to end by praying today, and here's the question for you. How well are you leading yourselves at the moment? Maybe there is something here today, again, maybe something, not something new, not something that you haven't heard before, but maybe there is something in this message, maybe there is some area in your life where you just want to focus. And I'm just going to end with this little piece of advice as well. For me, I'm looking at just even what I've spoken about today and thinking, do you know what, there are so many areas which I don't do well. Well, here's my challenge for you. Maybe just think of one thing that you can do better this week. When you feel like you've started to do that and you've started to improve in that, then we can start to reflect again and to improve in other areas of our life as well. Should we just end by praying? Father God, I thank you for the message today, Lord. I thank you that it's a simple one, Lord. I thank you that it's not a hard one. But Father, more than anything, Lord, we just want to be the best version of ourselves, Lord. You created us to enjoy this life, Lord. You created us to make the most of this life, Lord Jesus. And you created us, Lord, to make a difference where we're at. So, Father, I just pray, Lord, help us to be honest with ourselves, to be open and honest about where we can improve, where we can better ourselves, where we can be in closer relationship with you, Father, where we can invest more time in other people, and where we can become more spiritually disciplined in our own lives. Father, that one thing, Lord, that we could just take away today, Lord, help us not just to think about it, but to also apply it to our own lives this week. So, Lord, we put our lives in your hands and we ask that you help us to be the best version of ourselves. In your wonderful and precious name, amen. Thank you, everybody, for listening.